Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
These five foolish virgins didn't have things right between them and Jesus. They were there, they were waiting for the bridegroom. They didn't have it right. It's 50%. Could Jesus be saying to us that 50% of people in the church aren't ready?
Jesus gave us so many warnings and reminders to be ready for his return, to help us keep our eyes on the skies and not get distracted by the desires and cares of this world. May we be like the wise virgins, lives ready, lamps ready, and filled with oil, knowing that we are only in this world for a while longer. With part two of our teaching, The Best Day Ever, Are You Ready? Out of Matthew 25, 1 through 13, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
In Judaism, you not only have Sabbaths as in Sabbath weeks, but you have Sabbath weeks of years. And so every 7 years, there's supposed to be a seventh year taken off. Well, September 15th was the beginning of the Sabbath year. September 14th of 2015 is the Sabbath year until September 14th of 2016. So the fourth blood moon is not only a super blood moon, but it's a super blood moon that's happening in the Sabbath year. And not only that, it's also the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee was every seven years until you went to 49 years. And then there was a Jubilee when all debt was wiped out. So it's a year of Jubilee this year. So if you were living under the law, you would have no debt this year. It would be a great year. Now, I did some looking up on the year of Jubilee because I wanted to chase that down. I tried to chase all of this down today, by the way. And there's some controversy as to whether or not this is the year of Jubilee, because they're not quite sure. Was it 49 years and then in the 49th year, the year of Jubilee? Or was it the year after the 49 years, the 50 year that was the year of Jubilee? So there's some question about that. But most places agree that 2015, starting with Rosh Hashanah, which was the 14th of September, I believe, that is the beginning of the year of Jubilee. So now you've got four blood moons in a row happening on Jewish festivals, with the last one being a super blood moon on the Sabbath year, on the year of Jubilee. It sure sounds like something's going to happen. If there's any day that something should happen, it ought to be on that day. That should be the day that it's going to happen. Now, do I think something's going to happen? I don't. Here's why I don't, because Jesus said, I'm coming back at an hour you don't expect me. And there's a lot of people expecting him. There's a lot of people that have gone out on the limb with this blood moon thing. They are so far out on a limb that they're praying, Lord, please come back on that day. Please come back on that day. I'm going to look really foolish if you don't come back on that day. And let me add something else into it. Remember how last week we looked at the passage that says that the learn a lesson from the fig tree, that when you see its leaves begin to bud forth, that know that that generation will by no means pass away until the coming of the Son of Man. And I remember back in the 80s, everybody was talking about how a biblical generation is 40 years. Now they're talking about a biblical generation being 70 years. They've changed it. And so now a biblical generation is 70 years. They've got a couple of passages that talk about that to be able to back them up. And so if Israel became a nation in 1948, 2018 is the end of the 70 years. So that would be that generation, biblically, is what they say. So they add that into it too, that something's got to happen before 2018 and Jesus has to come back again. By the way, September 28th is the Day of Atonement. If you're wondering what Jewish feast falls on that, if all of this were true and Jesus were going to come back at the super blood moon on a feast, it seems to me that it would be the Feast of Trumpets. That's the September 14th one. That the Feast of Trumpets, that it should have been the feast that Jesus would come back at, because the trumpet would sound and he would come back again. Let me add something else to this. You guys ready for this? The feasts. Jesus was crucified on Passover, or the day before Passover, the 14th of Nisan is the Jewish month. Jesus was crucified on Passover. He was buried. Here, I wrote down these feasts so I wouldn't forget them and have to just rely on my memory to be able to go over these. He was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unleavened bread basically is a cracker, and the crackers are often striped and pierced and speak of Jesus being striped and pierced. He was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Four of these feasts come together, and then there's a wait, and then three of the feasts come, okay? So Jesus fulfilled all of these four first feasts. Crucifixion on Passover, unleavened bread, burial. The Feast of First Fruits was on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. That was the Feast of First Fruits. And then the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, which is the harvest feast. So that literally, there were main events that happened on all four of the first feasts. And then there's a gap. And then September 14th, the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets, where trumpets are blown during that feast. And it would seem like the gap in the year, the almost three-month gap that there would be, would almost be a type of the church age. And then the trumpets being sounded on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah and the return of Jesus. Which is why Harold Camping said, Jesus is coming back on September 14th, whatever year it was that he said Jesus was coming back. He had used some other calculations to come to the date, but that's why oftentimes you will have the day of Rosh Hashanah being the day that people will say Jesus is coming back again. Now, there was as much hype, if not more, about the return of Jesus on the day that Harold Camping set than on the blood moons. There's probably more going on than with the blood moons and the feast than there was in the date that Harold Camping set. He set his date for a reason, and there are people setting their dates now. But here's one of the reasons that I could be wrong. Maybe on September 28th, we'll be up in heaven and I won't be bummed. I'll be like, oh man, I just talked about how this wasn't really gonna happen and here we are. I'm just not gonna put a lot of stock in it. And I'm not gonna run around any more than I normally do, living for Jesus and telling people that they need to be ready, because if it doesn't happen, then it's just going to be another point that people are going to point to and say, you guys keep talking about Jesus coming back and he doesn't come back. And so we'll know here in just a little while, right? September 28th is just a little over a week away. We're going to know this whole blood moon thing pretty soon. And like I said, if I'm wrong and it really is something, it's like you could take a lot of things that are happening, a lot of coincidences, and you can make a lot out of it. But the Bible doesn't say Jesus is coming back at the Feast of Rosh Hashanah on the fourth blood moon. If it said that, I'd believe it. It doesn't say that, and so I'm skeptical. Now, something you need to know about me a little bit anyway is that I'm a little bit skeptical. When I hear things like this, it's like they're too harmonized. I just get skeptical about them. And I just kind of go, let's just wait and see. We'll just wait and see. I did the same thing on 88 Reasons for 88. The guy had 88 reasons Jesus was coming back in 1988. When you read them, some of them were fairly convincing. He had 88 reasons why Jesus was coming back in 1988. He didn't come back in 1988. You think the guy would just repent and say, you know what, I was wrong, I shouldn't have set dates. But he didn't. He said, I was wrong. There's 89 reasons Jesus is coming back in 89. I forgot one of the reasons. And he wrote a book called 89 Reasons for 89. And Jesus didn't come back in 1989 either. I think it was 1844 that there was the great disappointment. There was a move in the church. There was some calculations going on from Daniel chapter 8. And the church in America believed Jesus was coming back. You can look it up too. Just look up the great disappointment. And you'll see that many people were, their faith was dashed because they had set dates. We ought to realize, you know what? Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour for a reason. We don't know when he's coming back. We just don't know. And all these people that are putting their reputation online, what a drag. I think it's bad for them. I like some of these guys I like. Some of these guys are the typical. They're the main guys. They're the guys that always do this. But some of these guys I really like. And I just think, why put your reputation for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ on the line for blood moons? If you like it, if you think it's possible, why not bring it out and then go, isn't that interesting? I think that's interesting. Isn't that interesting? Why not do that? Instead of going, Jesus is coming back, September 28th, something's going to happen. There's going to be some major thing that's going to happen on September 28th. By the way, it's been kind of extended by one of these guys to the whole year. As long as something happens during the year of Jubilee, then I know I'll be right. I think he's got a pretty good chance that something bad's going to happen over the next year, don't you? Something economically or war-wise or an act of God, somewhere something's going to happen. I think the guy's got a pretty good chance of trying to save his reputation. But I think people see through things like that. I think they're able to stand back and go, you know, the whole blood moon thing was a bunch of hooey. Now, again, I'm not saying it is. I know I just said, but I was acting like I was somebody else. You could tell by the voice I was using. The whole blood moon thing is a bunch of hooey. That's not me that's saying that. That's my person that I'm making up to be able to say that. I agree, it's interesting. I agree that all of the coincidences and all the things coming together, it's like, wow, this could definitely be something. And if something were to happen, Jesus were to come back, then you know there was a significant step forward towards the end of the world. If there was clarity and the gospel is able to be preached more, if people are reminded of the end of the world more and they're more interested in Jesus because of that, then great. I'll be excited about that. But it doesn't change anything when it comes to what the Bible says, which is you don't know when he's coming back, so stay ready. So let's read this. Where are we at? How's that for an introduction, by the way? Woo! I'll never be able to talk about all of that, by the way, tomorrow. We'll have to talk about some of it. So in verse 25, he says, "The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps," and the word for lamps here is torches, "who took their lamps and went out and met the bridegroom." So Jesus right off the bat tells us that this wedding parable is like the kingdom of heaven. He's telling us something about the kingdom of heaven. He'd also said that the kingdom of heaven is in your midst. So this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. Now, this would be a bride that had her attendants. Her attendants would be like the bridesmaids today. And they five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. He lets us know right off the bat. And again, I've already laid the foundation for this, of what a Jewish wedding looked like in their day. Jesus didn't have to do that. Because weddings have changed so much in the last 2,000 years, we have to do it. So we know that this gal has her bridesmaids with her, for lack of a better word, and they are waiting for the bridegroom to come, and it's been announced. They know that at any moment, he could come back and get them. So he says, five are wise and five are foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil for them. They didn't have any oil to dip their torches in or to pour on top of their torches and then light on fire. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So they weren't completely prepared. These five foolish virgins were kind of like me when I go somewhere on a trip. I always forget something. I put it out to pack and then I don't pack it. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him." The cry that was heard could have been the cry that was heard after a year. They're now ready. They're slumbering, they're sleeping in the middle of the night. They hear the cry. Now, they still don't know when he's going to come. They hear the cry that he's on his way, but they don't know. Then all of the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you." Now, this is not a parable telling us that we shouldn't share our oil. I just say that because there is a guy that did that. Took this verse, and you know, you're looking for something on everything. And he says, you know, sometimes you're prepared and they're not, and they're going to have to learn from that. I don't know that's saying anything about sharing, okay? This parable has nothing to do with sharing. Nothing to do with sharing. In fact, if we look at the rest of the scripture, share is what the Bible says, right? "But go rather and sell and buy for yourself." It has to do with they couldn't help them. If they helped them, then they wouldn't be prepared themselves. They couldn't help them. It was something they had to do for themselves. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came." Of course. As soon as those five went out to go buy, the bridegroom shows up. "And those who were ready went in with him and the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came out also saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you.' Watch therefore. Here's the application. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We know the reason for this whole parable. So we will watch because we don't know when he's coming. Now, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you find oil in the Bible, it's speaking of the Holy Spirit. The foolish virgins, it's not, and I heard this when I was really young. I heard this this parable taught that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you're going to be taken in the rapture. And if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you're going to be left behind. So in other words, they were saying there's a bunch of Assembly of God's people who are going to go and a bunch of Baptists who are going to be left behind. But I don't think that that's what it was saying. By the way, I heard that in Assembly of God's church, if you're wondering where I heard that message from. I don't think he's saying that some of them were baptized in the Spirit and some of them weren't baptized in the Spirit. I do believe, by the way, that there is an act of being baptized in the Spirit. I believe there's a filling of the Spirit. I believe that there is a point of asking God, Lord, give me the gift of the Holy Spirit and give me the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I believe God pours his Holy Spirit upon you. And if you have never asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then ask God to fill you with the Spirit, empower you, and to gift you to be able to do the work that God's called you to do. We aren't supposed to do it with the ability that we have, but with the ability that God supplies. But I don't know that that's what this passage is saying. These five foolish virgins didn't have things right between them and Jesus. They were there. They were waiting for the bridegroom. They didn't have it right. It's 50%. Could Jesus be saying to us that 50% of people in the church aren't ready? That we believe in Jesus, we believe that he's there, but our lives have not been impacted in such a way that we are now living for him with everything we have? That if he came back today, we would go with him? Now, we take this and we carry it through to the return of Jesus. If we're left behind, then we're going to go through the tribulation period. We have to then call out upon the name of the Lord. And maybe the biggest drag about being left behind, you know, the martyrs are there. The presence of the Lamb is in the midst of the martyrs in Revelation chapter 7, and it's pretty awesome. But as far as I can tell, those who are left behind and become Christians during the tribulation are not part of the bride. We will go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we are the bride of Christ. Those that are left behind are not part of the bride. And that's perhaps the biggest drag of all of that. We want to evaluate our lives. Do I have saving faith? That's the difference between the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. They all were waiting for the bridegroom. Everybody that goes to church and all the churches that are true churches that are represented throughout Tucson, full of people. Half of them are ready and half of them aren't. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? And if that's the case, five are ready and five weren't, then it's worth us saying to the Lord, you know what, Lord? Have I really surrendered my life to you? Have I really been born again? Have I really been transformed? And saying, Lord, I want that. Making sure. By the way, I never think it's a bad thing to examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith. The Bible says to do that, by the way. Those exact words, examine yourself to see whether or not you're in the faith. Whenever I give a message like this, some people are going to go, you're taking away people's security in Christ. No, I'm not. I'm bringing security in Christ. The last thing that you want to do is think you're okay when you're not. You want to be okay and think you're not. You don't really want to be that way. I'm just saying. Instead of, right? Instead of thinking you're okay and not being okay, you want to be okay and maybe think you're not okay. Now, it's better to know you're okay. It's better to walk with Christ and to be close with him and to be in love with him and to have your life filled by the Spirit and empowered to be used by him and seeing God moving. It's better to examine yourself and say, Lord, if I'm living for myself and I'm not living for you, then Lord, I want to live for you. I want to be about your business. I want to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness and all of these things. It's better for us to examine ourselves that we're not one of the five foolish virgins. Either tonight you are foolish or you are wise. One of two categories. You're either one or the other. And if you had to examine, are you confident that you're wise? Are you confident that if Jesus were to come back today, you would go to be with him? That you would hear the call of the bridegroom coming back for his church, the bride. What a picture. He's prepared a place for us. It was Keith Green who said that God created the world in 6 days, and Jesus has been working on that place for 2,000 years. Can you imagine what that palace looks like, what that place looks like for us who are in heaven? But it's worth us at the end of this message to say, you know, blood moon aside, feasts aside, to say, you know what, Lord, I want to make sure I'm born again. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray. Lord, we remember that you said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And that there will be those who are beating at the door and saying, let us in. And you will say, I never knew you. Lord, we want to know you. We want genuine faith in our lives. And we pray that you would do a work in drawing us to you. Help us to not be those who think we are okay when we are not, but that we would be those who are okay and know that we are okay, because we have called out upon your name and we are saved, and that you give us a chance to be saved. And Lord, we also pray as this world winds down, as we get closer and closer to the last days, we pray that your Holy Spirit would draw more and more people in. You desire that all would be saved and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's why you've waited as long as you've waited. And so, Lord, help us to be faithful. And Lord, I pray for those here tonight who are not sure. They examine their lives and they don't really know. Have they given everything to you? Have they laid it all down? Lord, I pray now that they would commit themselves to you. Just take this moment and surrender their lives. Lord, we want to be born again. We want you in our lives. We invite you into our lives. We lay down our lives that we can live for you. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us on that cross. And we realize that unless we receive you and the work that you did upon that cross and invite you into our lives, that we will not see eternity. And so, Lord, we invite you in. We want our lives to matter. We want to be faithful with what you've given us. We want our friends and family and acquaintances, colleagues, to see you in us. And so, Lord, cause us to be born again. You've said all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, we call out upon the name of Jesus that we could be saved. We want you in our lives and we want to live for you. And if the cares and the worries of this world are choking that out, then Lord, do a work. And if our hearts are full of rocky soil where things sprout up quickly, but then they die away in the heat of the sun when tribulation or persecution arise, Lord, then help us to have good ground on our hearts that we might be that light and that salt that you've called us to be here in these last days. Lord, even if something happens on September 28th, during the super blood moon, then we want to be ready. But if something happens before that, we want to be ready. And if something happens 6 months from now, or 20 years and 6 months, we want to live for you. Do a work. Do a special work tonight. That we would not be those foolish virgins who don't have oil in our lamp, but really are living for you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Practical Christian Living is a ministry of Calvary Chapel Tucson and is edited from Pastor Robert Furrow's weekly teachings. To hear current and past teachings, go to calvarytucson.com. If you'd like a CD copy of today's program, write to us at Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. Please include $3 to cover postage and materials. Practical Christian Living is made possible through the generosity of donations. Thanks to your support, hearts and lives are being changed. If you would like to support this ministry, send your donation to Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. With every donation of $25 or more, we'll send you your choice of Pastor Robert's series through 1 Timothy, Pass the Torch, available on CD, or A Fading Crown, a study through 1 Samuel, available on USB flash drive. Our address, once again, is Practical Christian Living, 5170 South Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. We thank you for supporting this ministry. May you come to know the incredible grace and peace that can only come from Jesus.